Receiving a regular offering tonight, I just want to say how happy we are to be connected to you, Brother Donnie. It's been a joy for all these years to know you, and we are so so appreciate your faithfulness to stay in your lane and to do what you do. Donnie was telling me he just came from doing the chapels for the A's and the Mariners today, and that it was a little too anointed in the Mariners chapel because I think they won the game. That's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to be a little less anointed than the opposing team. So, but what are you going to do? The Lord moves where he's going to move. So, that's one of the things, Donnie, I'm playing, obviously, but that's one of the things Donnie has a voice in is professional sports. And the other thing that I think many of you know, Donnie has an incredible gifting and voice in to the church, of course, but as well just with young people all over the country, all over the world, really. And we're going to roll a little video tonight. And are you guys queued up on that in the back? Oh, Donnie's going to come and talk to you first a little bit. But I want to say tonight we're also going to be doing in a few minutes a special offering. And we did the first one because it gets confusing to do all in one thing. But I'll come back and talk to you about that in a minute. But Donnie, just share what's on your heart tonight.
I love those shoes. You know what? You guys have the most rhythm of any young people. I think I was watching them all. Everybody was just like grooving. It was so cool in the beginning. KO, awesome job in worship, man. I met your mom outside, but I'm telling you, she has got to be sanctified proud of you. Where are you at, KO? You did so good. Huh? Where's he at? In the back? Okay, he did. That was good. You guys, do you have to have, to go to church here, an ability to sing? Because I every time I come, there's someone usually different leading worship, and they're so good. A couple of things I want to share. And then when they do the offering part, then he's going to show a video. And the reason I want you to see the video, because somebody asked me about the feats of strength. A guard stopped me and said, hey, I saw you 2 weeks ago on ESPN. And that is true. We did some talks at spring training. We were with the Marlins in Florida, with Houston Astros, and then we were with the Nationals. And Dusty Baker, Sacramento boy, manager there. And it was so funny because when I was doing the feats of strength, I'm looking. Bryce Harper is one of their star players. He's filming it like a junior hire. He was so nice and so gracious. All of those guys were. And then we took a week off, and then we were in Arizona spring training. We did teams there, and we came back. And I broke a block with a sledgehammer off Don Mattingly, the manager for the Marlins, and it went viral. It literally was on – it's been Sports Illustrated. It was on MLB. It was on Fox News. It just was across the country, local news. And to God be the glory. And a young man – but a Shreveport, Louisiana, took a highlight of some of the teams I spoke to and put together me speaking to the various teams, and you'll see that in just a minute. But I wanted to share with you what the offering is going toward tonight. I'm leaving this week, and I'm going to Las Vegas. Las Vegas is a special place in my heart there because the police department have found out if they work with the local church, crime goes down. And the last time I was there, they picked hot spots, and we literally went in and set up a flatbed, barbecued, and right out of the apartment complexes, people would come, and we would do the feats of strength and preach the gospel, and the police would come, and they would just be right there with us. I couldn't believe this one cop, though. He had his light on, and I said, maybe you should turn it off because that's drug-infested area over there, and if they see the light on, maybe they think you're not here for an outreach, but maybe... And then I felt, everyone thinks I'm so bad because, I can bench 500 pounds, but literally I'll show you how big of a coward I am. Because they said, go over to the apartments and knock on the doors. And I said, turn the light off. I'm not going to go over there and knock on a door of an apartment with the police outside. So I sent the teen challenge guys. Because one guy on teen challenge is bragging. He had the teen challenge guy, he said, he showed me his x-ray on his phone. He goes, I've had 6 bullets put in me. I'm still living. I thought, well, 7, he'll be okay. He's tough. But anyway, I'm going back to Las Vegas, and we're going to get to do that outreach as well as this school, you guys, has won my heart. And the church has reached out to the school. It's a public school, but it's a charter school. And you can throw a rock, and you can hit the biggest pornographic area, prostitutes. I mean, it's literally where the apartment complexes are. Kids, 300 kids walk through there every day to get to school. And many times they walk across dead bodies died of drug overdose, and they find themselves at this charter school, and it's one of the easiest places to speak because these kids are so hungry and so open. And for the last time, I mean, I shouldn't say this, I don't know, don't put this out on the internet, but they allowed me to preach the gospel the last time. This is a public school because we've incurred favor because I've been there 4 years in a row. And the Lord has just really opened the door. While I was doing that school, a guy in the back last year, he Googled me and it came up that I spoke to the Kansas City Royals in the World Series. And so he shot a text across town to the head coach of a basic high school and said, hey, this guy Donnie Moore is here speaking at this public school. He said, maybe we can get him to come and speak to the team. So they asked this pastor, told me that I've been trying to get in that school. I said, let's go. So I went over there and Dean and I, and we did some feats of strength and spoke to the team. I said, guys, when you get to the state championship, you know, I'll come and speak to you. And I just said it in faith, but not realizing that this school was like top 10. They were like number 10 in the state. And Bishop Gorman and Bicentennial are like the top schools. Well, this team took our steel bar and they put it on the bus. And like they had a special like seat, our bent steel bar for it. And they started winning and they called me, you guys. They called me up and they said, listen, this weekend we're in Reno and we're playing for the state championship. So my wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go. So I went and I spoke to them before the state championship game and was in the dugout. They won it. And so when I'm going this week, they're going to present me with a state championship ring. Isn't that pretty cool? So I get to go to Reno, do outreaches, and go back. Now, this is a public school, basic high school. But really what I want to share with you real quick at night, tonight, is our camp. And we have two summer camps, many of you know. But I wanted you to see a couple of the girls. I had a couple of slides I wanted you to see. That was our Christmas. Last year, I told you about, we did a banquet, and we bought these girls from group home and single parent. We bought them gowns. Well, this year we decided to have a Christmas party and give them gifts instead of spending the money on an elaborate banquet, which was really cool. Don't get me wrong. But this year we got them gifts. And it was a little embarrassing because this one lady that volunteered to help, she stood up in front of 40 girls and said, I got all your bra sizes, and I went to Victoria's Secrets. And I was just like had my head down. I was the only guy there. How many know Victoria has no secrets? And really uncomfortable, but they got all these girls like top, not secondhand, but nice clothes and nice brands. And to watch those girls from foster care and group home, single parent, these girls mostly are all, I mean, from horrendous backgrounds. And you can see, go ahead, I want you to just see the girls. And you guys helped last year, scholarship. You got the next picture? I want you to see these pictures. You got the next one? Next one? Oh, there we go. Okay, go back. Go back. Keep going back. I want to see the girls. They were like in order. But, oh, they're like chopped off their heads. You can't like lower that? Oh, my gosh. We should have checked that before I got here. Okay, you can leave that. Okay, all these girls were scholarship to our camp last summer, and they all got saved. We scholarshiped a lot more. All those girls got saved. Now, One girl in that picture, I won't point her out, but she was in foster care. She started punching holes in the wall. They had an alarm on her door, and they wouldn't let her leave her room. So she started punching holes in the walls in her room in junior high so she could go to juvenile hall. Her name is Akoya. Akoya ended up in this group home, and she was scholarship to camp. She got saved, and she went home. That's Akoya. Akoya, gosh. Koya went home after camp, and let me tell you, the first night of camp, I preached on the cross. She sat on the front row with me, and this is what she said to me. She said, I knew that Jesus lived, but I didn't know he died for me. And Koya got saved. Koya went home, and she's had a 4.0, and she's graduating this June, and she went last week. She applied, or she already applied. She signed up. She's going to go to Sac State. And she is just a trophy of God's grace. And that's Akoya. And the next girl, I've adopted these girls. That girl right there is a handful, as you can see. And she is there in the foster care program in Sacramento. She ended up in a group home, came to camp. Her name is Gigi. Gigi got saved at camp. And she went home. She's been serving God there in Sacramento. And Gigi went out for the basketball team this year. She played varsity basketball as a freshman. And she is just an amazing, and she's going to be at camp again this summer. She's going to be a sophomore in high school. But Gigi, what a trophy of God's grace. I don't know if you got another one. You got another one? Yeah, I can go all night with these girls. I just love, I've adopted them. And what they have is a ministry there, and that's my daughter, Brooke, in the middle. Brooke goes up and volunteers every week. Now, this is, Stacey, Brooke, it's got Mel's soul hold of my family. Brooke goes up, and Brooke cuts hair for a living, but she does their hair and their nails. And she's probably going to end up full-time ministry in that area because she's going, Dad, I don't even want to go to the salon. She goes, I just want to be with these girls. And there was one girl that was kidnapped, and they were sex trafficking in Stockton, and they took her down, and Brooke goes, I'm going out. I said, no, you're not going out. We're not going to go down on Wilson Way. You're not going without me. We're not going to be out there. I said, pimps are not, this is not real easy here, Brooke. But she's got such a heart for these girls. Anyway, tonight's offering in its entirety is going to Radical Reality, but it's going to go to scholarship. I told Jackie, who heads up, it's called the Glass Slipper, that we're going to scholarship as many girls as we can. It costs $250 for one of these young ladies to spend a week at camp. And there are 40 girls, and we're going to, if we only scholarship two tonight, if we scholarship three, if you're a visitor, relax. There's no obligation for you to give. But if you're here and you say, Donnie, I'd like to help, I can do a little bit. I just would like to see one of these young ladies from the Glass Slipper Ministry make it to camp. And everything that comes in is going to help us get them for a week away out of group homes. I can't even tell you, Caleb, the work that we had just for the group homes and that area of foster care to okay them to go to a Christian event. Isn't it amazing? Just because we're Christian, they did all this investigation stuff. And the lady told me, from the Glass Slipper, Donnie, I played every chip to get them there. And every girl came back from camp with a positive experience. So now the whole area there is saying, we want to send girls to Donnie and Radical Reality's camp because these girls came back changed. Changed. And we know that the change comes through Jesus Christ. So if nothing else, pray that we can get as many of these young ladies to camp that God will get a hold of their life. Thank you.
Awesome. You know, I just appreciate all these different zones that Donnie is in. And our kids got rocked to camp. And I think it's awesome that we can help kids that just really have no way to get to camp get rocked to camp as well. And it really is a life-changing thing when students go to camp. We haven't even hardly had time to share testimonies from our own camp, which we've got to figure out a way to do that still. But it's amazing. I've gotten to hear a bunch. And I'm very, very excited to hear what God's doing. But yeah, I'm going to have our team come. And I just, you know, I appreciate too, maybe I've said this before about you, Donnie, but I don't think we realize, I personally think one of the great movements, the way the Jesus movement is happening today, one of the zones it's happening in is professional sports. It's incredible. You don't always see it, you don't always know it, but there are so many guys on the Warriors, for example, on the A's, so many guys that really love Jesus. And they're living for the Lord. They're not just like, Lord, please let me win, you know, NBA finals. They're really living for Jesus, and they want to make a difference with their lives. And that's because they've had people coach them spiritually. They've had evangelists and mentors and people like Donnie around them. I just appreciate all that hidden work, because that's not the kind of work where you get to be like, for the evangelist in the big stadium might be like, Graham, that's the one-on-one, it's a small group. But it's like, I appreciate it so much. I do. And let's partner with this ministry. Let's partner with what's happening. Come on forward, you guys. We're going to pray over these kids, over this event, over the summer camps. You can give to New Life Church. You can do it with the different ways that we have available to do that. And we're going to just tomorrow have our team put that together and get it over to Radical Reality. So let's just join our hearts in prayer. Would you join? Come on, stretch your hands towards Donnie, actually, right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for Radical Reality. We thank you for these girls. We thank you for their stories and the story, Lord, that you are writing. Lord, thank you that your word says we are your poem. We are your workmanship. Lord, created, being written for good works in Jesus Christ that you've prepared beforehand. Thank you for the way the cross and the power of your Spirit and your love is just intersecting with their lives and changing everything. And God, we just pray that this would continue to have so much impact. We pray over this summer camps, it would ignite some of the greatest revival and the greatest stories they've ever seen through these camps. And Lord, we just bless Donnie. We pray that, Lord, you would just help this to make a great impact financially to help these kids come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's go ahead and receive this offering this tonight. And you guys have another video, I believe, a fun video. Some of these highlights from the Feats of Strength. Let's show it. Donnie's going to come up after.
Broke a few bricks in there, huh?
Yeah, broke some bricks. It was fun. Donnie Moore is a great speaker. He's been with us for a couple of years doing this. He actually did it. He did one for us Game 5 of the World Series in 2014, which was really cool. And came back and did it last spring and did it again this spring. So we love having him here.
Yeah, just the bricks kind of caved in on him, but
you got to power down through it, that's for sure.
Just a privilege to be able to speak to the Kansas City Royal organization, both the major and minor leagues. Just doing some motivational. Talk to them about a vision to win, believe you can win, train to win, the will to win. And they were so receptive. They were just yelling, screaming, motivating us. It was really a lot of fun.
2-1, we try to put a plan together for spring training and bring in impactful speakers. And I know last year that Donnie Moore had spoken to the World Series, in the World Series, to the Royals, the Major League team, and talking to some of the guys, they said if you're going to choose people to come in, you have to talk to Donnie Moore.
And when you become a Kansas City Royal, you forfeit your right to be average.
They entertain for a living. I think it's entertaining to them, and I think they respect strength. And so when they're seeing the Feats of Strength right in front of them, even when like the 2x4s didn't go right, I think they see it's real. They see effort. They see intensity. And I think it really enforces what the coaches and what the organization is saying to them. So I think we're saying the same thing, just a little differently. I've been training for, 40 years, so it's not like something that I just started doing. The technique is important. But you still, at my age, you have to really work hard. You have to really be in the weight room. You have to understand technique. And sometimes the feet doesn't go exactly right. You got to make adjustments.
It's going to be a long haul. They're not only getting through this season, but trying to make it to the major leagues. And I'm sure, talking to a lot of the guys after seeing this presentation, that they're going to be pretty pumped up and ready to go.
The amazing thing young people can do with media, that was a young person from Shreveport, Louisiana that put that together. And right now, all the teams are sending me the footage of me speaking to them. So really pray, because we're looking at putting together a 12-minute highlight that would go into schools, and so we can speak to athletic teams. And the Lord opened the door when I was at Sam Houston University a few months back for me to speak to the athletes on campus because of that video. The coaches are like, oh, let's put all the athletes together and let Donnie. Then I got to invite them to the night meeting. So You are so prophetic in speaking about that, Caleb, because I had 8 guys last week on the Oakland A's that I'm taking in my small group. We're going, last year we went through the book of James. This year we're going verse by verse through the book of Peter. And there are 10 guys that, there are 8 at the study, but 2 more want to make a commitment to be there every week. And that's pretty amazing. The Oakland A's, we had 22 guys. There's only 25 on the roster at Chapel today, including our manager and 3 coaches. Same thing on the side. Matter of fact, I got a text when worship was going on from Nelson Cruz, who hit a home run, a double, and a whatever against us today. And he goes, thanks for the encouragement. I wanted to raise the text and go, but you stop every time I speak, and I love Nelson, I go, but you kill us. Because last year I spoke to them when they came to play, and I'm driving to speak on a Sunday night, and the 10th inning he hits a home run to beat us. And so that, you know, you don't want to, like, encourage the other team to beat your team. And you. Anyway, so someone asked me what I do with Feet of Strength Live, so I took this off someone's car in the parking lot. If it goes in and it cuts your hand, it really hurts, and then you're bleeding, and I don't want to speak with a towel on my hand. Thank you guys for coming out tonight, and the guests that are here. We're so honored that you would come and be with us. I want to take a thought tonight, and some of you are well aware of the story of Joseph, but I want to pull out some things out of this passage, possibly that you haven't seen. In Genesis 37, now, go ahead, you put it up in the, so I want you to see with me. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other sons because he had borne him in an old age. He had made an ornament or an ornate robe, or some of your translations say a coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and would not speak a kind word to him. I mean, it's pretty, not even a kind word, no word. And then the Bible says Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen, this dream I have. We're binding sheep's grain out in the field when suddenly my sheep rose up, stood upright, while your sheep gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you still intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream than what he had said. They hated him more for his dream than what he had said. Then he had another dream. Hey, guys, I got another dream. Can't wait to share this one with you. He told his brothers, listen, I had another dream. This time the sun, the moon, 11 stars are bowing down in me. And when his dad, when he told his father, as his brothers, his father rebuked him. He said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? And the Bible says, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. I want to talk to you tonight just for a few moments on the power of a dream. The power of a dream. When I was playing college football, I went to University of Pacific on a football scholarship, and they had fall term and they had spring, and then there was middle term, which was the mid, like during winter, and just called it fall term. And it was only a month and a half. And what I wanted to do in that month of half is take the easiest class I possibly could take, because you just had just a few units, and it was a break, but you could get some units. So I took, you know, I'd look for, like, on the syllabus, let's see, underwater bubble blowing. Let's take that class. I mean, I was looking for the easiest class. I know none of you are guilty of that to go to college, but I knew that if I could take an easy class, I could just kind of cruise for a month. So I saw in the syllabus that this class was called Dream Interpretation. And so I said, I'm going to take this class. You're saying, it would be different from a Christian perspective. But this was from a professor that was a 3-alarm kook. This guy, it was so bizarre, because what you had to do is you were supposed to set your alarm at 2 in the morning, and you were supposed to, like, wake up and write down your dream. and set it at 4, and then you write down your dream, and you bring it to class, and this guy would interpret it. The professor would interpret your dream. First of all, that's kind of weird, you know, in front of a classroom, you know, like, I wasn't saved at that time. I got saved a little later in college, but that particular time I wasn't saved. So I was coming in at 2 o'clock. So I would, like, you know, just make dreams up. Last night I dreamed I was a giraffe and I was running for the president of the United States. You know, just something just really bizarre. And then, like, one time I wrote, I dreamed last night I was a muffler and I woke up this morning exhausted. True story. This one precious girl, Karen, in our class, she wrote down a dream that she was on the outside of, and he read it to the class, outside of the car, and she couldn't get in. Her parents were in the car, and they were leaving. She was chasing the car, and, you know, like, he takes his glasses off, and he's, like, rubbing his eyes, and he goes, "Aha! The problem is you don't get along with your mother and father. And as they were leaving you, this thing inside of you has never been resolved." She goes, "No, I get along great with my mom and dad." And no, so he doubles down. He's going to keep going. "Well, it's your brother and sister. They obviously are not in your life, are they?" She goes, "I don't have a brother and sister." And at this point, you know that laughter when you shouldn't laugh, but you're like, so I'm in the back of the classroom going, "He's killing me." Your poodle didn't obey you as a child. No, we didn't have a dog. I mean, it was just like that situation. Dream interpretation. I don't mind people that really have that gift and God speaks to them. Thank God for the gift. Joseph, he had a dream, a victim of circumstances, not of his own making. And she's bowing down before his sheep. Can't wait to breakfast to tell his brothers and his dad and mom. They hated him even more for his dream than for his words. The world can be a hostile environment for a dreamer. It gets worse. He's got another dream. Couldn't wait. "Hey, listen, mom, dad, let's play it out this way. Sun, moon, 11 stars. Dad, son, mom, you're the moon. Guys, you're the 11 stars. Let's practice." Rebuked by his father. What do you do with a dream when no one understands? God-given dreams are one of his ways of communicating with us. And through the dreams, he wants to develop us and use our uniqueness and our gifts to accomplish his purpose. God has given some people dreams and they're wondering, what happened to those dreams? And those dreams can be mixed with our own pride, our own selfishness and immaturity, and they need to be purified, tested, refined, and sometimes even refashioned. Joseph was a dreamer. As a young man, he dreamed that one day he'd be in a place of authority. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 37, when they saw him coming, this is what they said in verse 19, "Here comes the dreamer. Come, let's kill him." That's not like real positive. I mean, so they grab Joseph and they come up with this elaborate plan. You know, they're going to kill him and then they're going to take his coat that his father gave him and put goat's blood over it and take it back and say, "Your son was killed by wild beasts." And Reuben has compassion. So what do? They end up, they throw him in a pit. Pit. Write this down, young people. Remember this, pit. Pit, all dreams start in a pit. This is prophet in training. People say to me, "You know, Donnie, you know, you're speaking to teams in the World Series. You know, you're at spring training, you saw all that." But they, when you look at ministry, ministry is serving at every opportunity. When you start out, let me give you an example. I've been saved about a month. And my pastor said, "Hey, Donnie, this Wednesday." And I was just going to church and setting up church. Been saved a month, doing whatever I could. And he said, "Hey, listen, I have a Bible study on Wednesday at the Sunshine Seniors home. And would you come and teach my study?" I said, "Sure." And so I was preparing my message. I'm thinking, what am I going to speak to all these seniors about? And I thought of heaven, because they're up in years and they're close to going to heaven. And so I thought, I'm going to preach on heaven. That would be a good message. And I'm preparing my message, and I go to Sister Jane in our church. She played the violin. She's like in her 80s. She's going to be my soloist. I went to this other precious saint, and she played the piano, and she was going to sing some hymns. I thought, man, I got my team. You know, I'm in my early 20s, man. I'm ready. I'm on fire, and I'm going to go preach in this senior citizen home. And I get there, and I realized that no one had really advertised, so I went door to door, room to room. And thank God they had beds with wheels on them, so I'm rolling them into the day room. I'm bringing them in wheelchairs. I'm serious. Oxygen tank. It didn't matter. I got every nurse. Everybody in the whole facility is packed out in the day room. And Sister Joyce plays the piano and sings Amazing Grace. And Sister, I'm telling you right now, they came... Jane Houghton, and she played the violin so nice. And I got up, and I read my text, John 14, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And this lady just stands up right to my left, and she goes, say, I don't know who I am, and I don't know where I am, but I'm sure having a good time. And sits down. I was like, so I just ignored her, and I started reading again. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, she stood up again. She goes, say, I don't know who I am, and I don't know where I am, but I'm sure having a good time. Like, I'm panicking. I don't know. I look over at Sister Jane, and she laid her violin down. She's laughing hysterically. Sister Joyce's head is hitting the piano keys. And it's not like you guys know me that I've heard me in school assemblies or a youth camp. It's not like, hey, Grandma, this is my time. Sit down. You can't. Grandma, no one's paying me to be here today. If they're paying me to be here, that's prostitution. You can't pay me to love you. My love's not for sale. I couldn't do any of those lines. So I went back to read my text again. She stood up again and she says, say. And I said, you don't know who you are? You don't know where you are, but you're having a good time. She said, yep. And she sat down, and I preached my message. She never got up again. And I gave an altar call, and everybody got saved, including me. It was an incredible service. And I made a beeline to this precious lady, and I knelt down, and I looked, and she had there on her wrist, it had her name, Mrs. Vogt. I said, Mrs. Vogt, I said, thank you. Thank you for coming to church today. And she looked at me and she said, you know, the Bible says that God so loved the world, whoever believes in him, Jesus, they're not going to perish, but they're going to have eternal life. Do you know that? And I said, yeah, I know that. I learned a great lesson that day. Deeper than the cortex of the brain was her spirit. And the word of God was just lodged in her spirit. And she was just so precious. And my pastor shows up, and he walks in and goes, Donnie, how did you do? And I said, oh, it was great. I said, Pastor, this is Sister Vogt. Sister Vogt, this is my pastor. And she looks at my pastor, and then she looks at me, and she goes, say, I'd like to see you two boys in your shorts. And my pastor's like, he's like, he's running down the hallway, and she's like running her fingers through my hair. And I was just cracking up. It was so precious. I went back the next week to see Sister Vogt, and I went in her room. I said, Sister Vogt, I said, do you know who I am? I said, it's me. Do you remember me? And she's looking at me. I said, do you know who I am? She said, no, but if you ask that nurse over there, she'll tell you. Prophet in training. Ministry start out in different places. And sometimes we have a mentality to think that because you are on some platform or been used, like Pastor was talking about, a Billy Graham, everybody is called to the full-time ministry. We have different ways we get our paycheck signed. But don't ever underestimate the things that you do and the way you serve God. And sometimes when you start in a place called Pitt, that it's not fun, but it's a start. And you keep serving faithfully there. See, his brothers sold him to the Mennonite merchants who took him to Egypt. Joseph's dreams need the test of time and maturity. They need the refining, honing, polishing. God did not tamper with the dreams, but he tampered with the dreamer. Say it again, Donnie. I said, God never tampered with the dreams, but he tampered with the dreamers. If you can't give me a good Pentecostal amen, I'll take a good Baptist nod. Jesus, amen. Anyway, Joseph could have said, I don't believe this is happening to me. I'm going to get a bottle of Nile Comfort and get drunk. Joseph could have said, you know what? I'm going to get some desert light and I'm going to go get high. I'm going to turn my back on. I am upset. When dreams collapse, some people think it's a failure of God's promises. Joseph's reaction, he doesn't withdraw. He made the best of the situation. He doesn't blame God. What does he do? He goes into Potiphar's house and he begins to work. He's working in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar has a wife. We'll call her Polly. Polly Potiphar. She looks at Joseph and she says, hunk. The Bible says, all you single girls, he was well built and handsome. I just want to say this right now. For all the girls in here that are single, you would have looked at Joseph and went, God's will for my life. And she says, come to bed with me. How many know she's not talking about let's take a nap? If you're not old enough to understand that, you can later talk to your parents. But the Bible's got some crazy stuff in it. I mean, turn off your soap operas. I mean, this, come to bed. And Joseph, what does he do? He runs. And she grabs his coat. That kid was always losing coats. She got his coat, but she couldn't get his commitment. She got his coat, but she couldn't get his character. She got his coat, but she couldn't get his conviction. So he runs. I want to say something to you. I want you to get this. All seduction is not sexual. The love of money seduces. An addiction to pleasure seduces. Power seduces. There's always a Polly Potiphar the devil will bring to try and destroy your dream. She lies about him. She said, that slave, he tried to take advantage of me. He tried to rape me. This, and now he goes to prison. That's not up. That's down. He's in prison. If you're taking notes, the Bible says he found favor in prison. He had favor in Potiphar's house. He had favor in prison. There's three things I pray for every day. Young people that are taking notes, write this down. I pray for wisdom. Wisdom comes three ways. Wisdom comes through pain, through people, and through prayer. You don't have a marriage problem, sir, you got a wisdom problem. You don't have a financial problem, you got a wisdom problem. I need wisdom. Wisdom comes through pain. Cool. I like to hear from people that's been through something. I don't hear about somebody never been through something. I want to hear somebody's been through something come out the other side. And those are the folks with the gray hair and those folks that have lived a while. And their longevity qualifies them to speak into your life. If someone is telling you to go somewhere they haven't been, all they have is an opinion about what you need to do to get there. I want somebody that's gone through something to speak into my life. So it comes through people. Pain. And lastly, wisdom comes through prayer. The Bible says, anybody lack wisdom, ask God. God, I need your wisdom. The second thing I pray for is favor. Wisdom is number one. Two is favor. Favor with God and favor with man. You don't need everybody to like you. You just need the right person to like you. You don't need everyone to like you. You just need the right person to like you. The favor of God will open doors you cannot open. The favor of God will take you to places that you could never imagine you go. The favor of God is so important. You want the favor of God in your life. And then thirdly, I pray every day that I can do something for somebody that can never repay me. Every day of my life, I pray that I can do something for somebody that can never repay me.
I was in an ice cream parlor last week, Cold Stone's there in Lodi, California. And my wife and I were standing in line. There were three boys. They were probably sophomore, freshman in high school. And they were just, you know, joking back and forth. And I could hear them as they were doing their orders. And one boy said, I don't know if I have enough. His friend said, I'll cover for you. And I'm listening to the conversation. And when they brought their ice cream up, the first boy looked at the lady behind the counter. He said, thank you very much. And the second one said, ma'am, thanks. And I said, if that third boy says thank you, and he's polite, I'm going to buy all their ice cream. And that boy said, thank you. And I just stopped and I turned and I said, ma'am, put all three of theirs on my tab. I'm going to buy all their ice creams. And the boys just stopped and just looked at me like, whoa. And one kid said, no one's ever done that for us. I said, I'm going to tell you why I did it. I said, every one of you boys said thank you, and you showed politeness to that lady, and everybody saw that in here, and I want to honor you for that. It was an amazing thing. These boys walked out of there. They were absolutely shocked up. They'll never forget that a total stranger honored them. See, every day of my life, I don't care if it's a smile or buying a meal for somebody or giving something to someone, that they can't repay me. Every day of our lives, we're looking to be, not because we're trying to be a big witness, that's just the right thing to do, to be kind to people. Man, I was talking to Ricky Henderson today, and after chapel, he came in the locker room. They just named our field after him. And Ricky and I are standing there. I said, Ricky, one thing I love about you, you're kind to people. He'll always stop and he'll sign an autograph. He'll take a child, he'll kneel down and take a picture. I appreciate that. He's a Hall of Famer. He's known in the game, and they just named our field after him. But yet, I watch him walk down a hallway, and someone will say, Ricky, and he'll always take time. That ministers to me. That encourages me. Watch, life, you know, can deal us. I mean, what do you do when your dream goes to prison for 13 years? And one of the most remarkable secrets of Joseph's life was the darkness which surrounded him in the cell wasn't allowed to get into his heart. If you got that, put that up. Although Joseph was in prison, he never allowed the prison, He never allowed himself to become a prisoner of hate and bitterness. He never let the prison get in him. Although he was surrounded with darkness, the butler had a dream. And the butler, he had this dream. He's going to later be the cupbearer. He has this dream. He's squeezing out grapes for the Pharaoh. So he comes to Joseph and he says, hey, I had this dream. Isn't it amazing that he's asking the dreamer? Write this down. Sometimes you have to invest in someone else's dream before your dream comes to pass. Young people, you see, when you're in ministry, you're serving those around you in leadership. You're investing in their dream. As you invest in others' dream, God knows the dream that's in your heart. And he'll release you to your dream in due time. But see, we want this instant. You know, I want it now. Got to have it now. And the only problem with that is sometimes you got to work on other people's dream before your dream comes to pass. Because God will take your dream from the pit to the prison. Now, here's Joseph in prison, and what does he do? He goes to work on someone else's dream. And then, this is amazing to me. Joseph, he says, when you get out, you are going to be the cupbearer, and remember me when you come back into Pharaoh's favor. In the relief of his release, the butler, the cupbearer, he forgets him. How do you react when a friend forgets you in prison? Worse than being betrayed or tempted is to be forgotten. What do you do after all your faithfulness to everyone? Even though you count them as friends, they just forget you. Remember when you get back into Pharaoh's favor? Remember me. At times, it must have seemed utterly unrealistic. Joseph never forgot it, never doubted it, never abandoned. The power of a dream. The God who is absolutely just, who rules the universe, is not finished writing the story yet. The Bible said he's the author, he's the finisher of our faith. God's never written a bad book.
if he is the author and he's the finisher, you might be in chapter 5 and it might be storm. But the book hasn't been written yet. Not the final chapter. Sometimes the dreamer must learn from the dungeon of delays in order for God to get us in his divine season. Everybody say season. Interrupted dreams are not necessarily broken dreams meant to be abandoned. They're only delayed dreams meant to be postponed until their season. Pharaoh has a dream. 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows. Fat ears of corn, skinny ears of corn. The 7 dream cows with anorexia takes out the plump ones. The 7 wind blasted ears cannibalize the 7 Kellogg cornflakes pinup ears, and Pharaoh doesn't have a clue. And he says, I can't interpret this dream. And what does the cupbearer, what does the butler? I remember a guy. Where is he? He's in prison. Joseph says, the Pharaoh says, quickly, go get him. Bring him to me. And then Joseph shows up. There's so much in this. It's a whole series, but I'm not doing a whole series. But when you think about this, watch the posture of Joseph when he comes before Pharaoh. When he was young, it's like, hey, I got a dream, man. Guys, you're bowing down. He comes to Pharaoh, and this is what he says to Pharaoh. He says, hey, perhaps the Lord can help. I can't interpret this dream. But his dependency was so on the Lord that he said, hey, God knows the interpretation of this dream, and God can help me. And what does Joseph do? He says 7 years of famine, 7 years, this is what the dream means, a blessing. We're going to store up during the 7 years of plenty, so when the famine comes, we'll be ready for it. And the Pharaoh turns to Joseph and gives him the keys to the storehouse. And now the dream has gone from what? The pit to the prison to the what? Palace. This is the key. This is what I want you to get. If you'll get anything out as we close, I want you to get this. This is the most important part of the message. So just focus on me, especially those that have had a dream and you've been praying, you've been seeking God, and you've been wondering what's going to happen or what has happened. Joseph not only can interpret dreams, but he can interpret seasons. The Bible says to everything there is a season. Seasons are God's idea. The Bible says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered of the Lord. So are there seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity, under the heaven. Genesis 8:22. The Bible says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. The Bible tells us in John 5:4 that an angel came down at a certain season and stirred the water. The Bible says in Daniel 2:21, he changes the times and the seasons. He sets up kings and he disposes them. Seasons are segment purposes, the overall goal of God. If you don't know how to handle a season, it'll frustrate the dream God gave you. Seasons are God's servants. They have purpose. What's the reason for the season? Answer, harvest. I like young people. They just get their phone out and take a picture. I love this. You guys, you're going to want to tweet some of this. I'm serious. You're going to want to put it on Facebook. Because you want to go deeper, I'm going to teach you guys something about seasons because it's so key, so important to understand how God operates, how God works. See, we want spring, but we don't want winter. But you got to have winter if you're going to have a resurrection in the spring. Amen. Preach it, Donnie. It's a good point. Seasons are sent. They have purpose. They're limited. They're controlled. They come to a conclusion. We'll say it again. Seasons, they have purpose. They are limited. They're controlled. They come to a conclusion. anything that arises as a season of time doesn't have the power of the capability of circumventing what God has decided before time. He knows the end from the beginning. He's outside of time. He's in time. He's before time. See, God lives in eternity. We're going to where God is. We're marching through life. God is at the end of the parade. He stands at the end of the parade. A lack of understanding of the season can frustrate the promise. If you don't grasp the season of God, you'll try to force the dream or the promise. We look at successful churches and we say, oh man, what a church like that. Oh man, I want a church. Boy, a church. This church is 60 years old. And you pull up and you guys celebrated last week its 60th year. A lot of seasons before this much fruit has been produced. Seasons of misunderstanding. Seasons of dark nights of pain and loneliness. Seasons of discouragement. Seasons of difficulty. I guarantee you that Pastor Caleb and his incredible wife Rachel know every exit out of this city. He grew up in this church as a young man. He knows the seasons of difficulty and has lived through them. And so have many of you that have been a part of this fellowship. A lot of difficult seasons before a building sets here. A lot of seasons, 60 years, trials, difficulties, hardships. See, you cannot harvest fruit out of season. You can stand in front of an apple tree and say, bring forth fruit! Bring forth fruit! It happening. See, a lot of men of God don't understand their season in life. And when you don't understand your season, you can misinterpret what God is doing. Saul didn't understand the season he was in. He was in a season where he should have been mentoring, but yet he didn't understand that season, so jealousy got in his heart, and he started throwing javelins at the move of God. You ever met Christians with a javelin spirit? See, they see what's happening in Reading, and it's not happening in their place. Instead of trying to understand and tap in to the river or the flow, they throw javelins. We'll try this side over here. You see, you got to be careful that you don't get a javelin spirit. Because the season they're in and the season you're in can be totally different in what God's doing. Doesn't mean we cannot learn, grow from other moves. But it cracks me up when everything was happening in Pensacola. All my friends would go back there and they would try to take what was happening there here. Not the district, but here in their facility. And people would jump up and down. And then what would happen is after you jump up and down, you begin to sweat. And then as you begin to sweat, you begin to stink. And you got to be careful. You got to be careful that you don't try to make something happen in the flesh. And if you don't understand this principle of season, the next time you're going through a hard season, you'll be tempted to quit. The season was sent not to reduce me or seduce me. The season was sent to perfect me into the image of Christ. Why? Because God is after harvest. God is always after harvest. I'm going to bring this to a conclusion, but I want you to grasp this. Remember Abraham, Sarah? God told them as he took him in Genesis 13 outside of his tent one night, and he showed him the stars. He said, so your descendants will be as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Remember that? He gave him a picture. He saw by looking at what God wanted to do. But what happened? Because God gave him a promise. And now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant. Her name was Hagar. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps we can build a family through her. You ever felt like sometimes you got to help God out? See, it's not happening. And so now we're going to force the promise. Sarah Abraham could not understand season. So they messed up the promise. The dream, you get the word. It's not fulfilled. Next week at 3 o'clock, you're frustrated. How many dreams are given up on because people misinterpret seasons? Abraham understood promise, but he didn't understand season. And that's why we pay over $4 a gallon for gas today. Abraham understood promise, but he didn't understand season. So he lay with his wife, her maidservant, Hagar, and they had a son. And what was his name? Ishmael. Ishmael, born of the flesh. Anytime you have a promise from God and you force the promise to make it happen, you're going to have something that's born of the flesh. You season food to give it flavor. You season things to improve their taste. You season certain meats to make them more tender. You hear people say, happy season. Season's greetings to you. Season's best. If you're a 49er fan, last year you said it was a terrible season. But next year there's a new. That's how God operates. He operates in season. And if you don't understand season, you'll get frustrated. When you don't understand season, you'll run away from where you're supposed to be. The promise to dream will never come to pass unless you live through the season. When God gives you the promise, in the promise are the rest stops, the problems, and the seasons. Today's problem was included in yesterday's promise. It will not stop tomorrow's dream. Somebody get a picture of that. Today's problem was included in yesterday's promise. It's not going to stop tomorrow's dream. God knew. And that's why when we're going through difficulty, we're like, I've got this thing in me. I got this dream. So today's problems, including yesterday's promise, is not going to stop tomorrow's dream. When God gives you a promise, he gives you a dream, and the promise are the rest stops, the problems, and the seasons. Now, write this down, and I promise you, as the worship team comes, we're going to close. A dream shows us things as God would have them to be. Did you get that? A dream shows us things as God would have them to be. A burden shows us things as they really are. A dream shows us things as God would have them to be. A burden shows us things as they really are. Accompanying every great dream is a burden for the lost, the community, a burden to see God do a great work. Some of you were grabbing me before the service, young people. God's doing something on your high school, and you got your club, and you guys are excited about it. See, what happens is that's a burden to see God do something on your school, to do something in your community. God, he takes that burden and he puts it in you for the lost, a burden to see God do a great work. A dream without a burden has no power in it, and it won't last. A burden and a dream work together. A burden propels the dream and keeps it alive. A dream without a burden is short-lived. A burden without a dream has no hope. See, Joseph had dreams while he was asleep because they were so vivid and they became the compelling vision of his life when he was awake. But he had this dream. And the dream started in a pit. And the dream went to prison. And finally, one day, Joseph is in the presence of the Pharaoh, interprets his dream. And because of the revelation of him understanding season, he becomes the prime minister of all of Egypt. And it didn't happen overnight. didn't happen overnight. I had a dream 25 years ago that we would have in the Oakland A's organizations chaplains going on every Sunday. Not just at Oakland, the big leagues. It's easy to get guys that want to be chaplains in the big leagues. But what about rookie ball in Arizona after we break camp? What about single A ball in Iowa? What about double A in Midland, Texas? What about triple A in Nashville? So after camp breaks, spring training in March, 750 players will leave and go to the major leagues. And the thousands of young people, young men, you saw them when I was speaking to the Royals, that minor league clip, they're just teenagers, a little older. What do they have Sunday? 25 years ago, I had a dream that on a Sunday, every Sunday in the ballpark. Well, Baseball Chapel had dreamed that dream way before me. But I had this thing in my heart, and we had A ball, double A, triple A chaplains. But I was at spring training, and God had worked a miracle where I met with a man, and he's bilingual. He's Latin. He speaks. He's Hispanic. He speaks Spanish. And on the way here, I was talking to our player development of all the Oakland A's organization. And he's such a great man and been in baseball over 40 years. He'll know more about baseball or forget more than I'll ever know. But because of the relationship favor, and I've gone 25 years every spring training, spoke to our whole minor league organization, 152 players every year I've spoke to. Minor league, the entire Oakland A's organization, minor league players. They'll have 152 in camp, and I'll speak to them for the last 25 years. You guys don't know that. Nobody knows that. But we were able to get Chapel. So this week coming up in Arizona, where they have rookie ball, extended ball, there'll be a chaplain there. And when these players, there'll be 12 Latin players coming in this week that don't know English. That they come from poor countries. They don't know what it's like to be in America. There's going to be a man waiting that speaks their language. And there'll be chapel for him. 25 years ago, I saw it. So what I'm trying to say to young people, the dreams that God's put in your heart that are right now beginning to stir, don't take them lightly. Some of you have had dreams, and your dream has been shattered. Your dream, you feel like it's dormant. And there's something tonight when I'm preaching that's stirring you. This message is not for everybody, but it's for somebody that the Holy Spirit is speaking to. For 6 lonely months, he was digging into the mountain, because every stream, geological finger pointed to there in the mountain is the precious gold. But after long months of drudgery and sacrifice, had not even yielded 1 ounce of gold. The prospector, in frustration and disappointment, buried his pick, his dynamite, and his candles at the far end of the tunnel. Years pass with amazing swiftness, and an Eastern Mining Company found the claim had been abandoned, bought the land, and reopened it. They removed the rock, the debris was cleared, and when they got to the end of the tunnel, they found the rusty remains of the prospector's pick. They found the time-worn candles. The dynamite was uncovered. And 6 inches further on, they found the gold. That's a true story. In Northern California, that was one of the biggest during the gold rush finds. 6 inches. The tragedy of the lost 6 inches. When fatalism tugged at the heart and fear said quit, there's no way. The candles were buried 6 inches too soon. Faith folded its tent 6 inches from the gold. Determination accepted defeat 6 inches before the fortune was found. Discouragement sounded retreat in the face of the raging battle with only 6 inches of limestone and shell separated him from the prize. How many churches are in lumber yards because faith couldn't live 6 more inches? How many marriages are in divorce court because they couldn't fight 6 more inches for their children? How many people give up on their dream 6 inches before God opens that next door? Don't bury your dream in the grave of might have been. If your dream is broken, you can pick it up and you can dream again. If your dream is shattered, God's saying, you know what? I can put that dream back together. Or maybe you're here tonight and God said it's time to dream a new dream because this is a new season in your life. It's a new season. And you got to let go of yesterday to embrace what God wants to do tomorrow. So some things it's okay to let go of because it's a different season in your life. And the seasons change. But one thing, God has set it up. There's a new year. There's a new month. There's a new week. There's a new day. Some of you stayed up 2016, the last night of this past year. And you didn't stay up that night to welcome in 2017. You stayed up that night just to make sure 2016 was ending. Because last year was a bad and terrible season. This is a new season. You got to embrace it. God, what do you have for me?